Hi Lavina, hi Maha. Thank you
أهلا.
for joining us today in Carry Fit with Christine podcast. So we have Lavina, sustainability lead for MIA, and Maha, country HR lead for MIA as well. So if you would like to give us a brief introduction about your roles.
Yes, sure. Thank you for having us, Christine. And first of all, congratulations on your podcast. It's really interesting to be part of your podcast. So yes, I am the country HR lead for Middle East and Saudi. So I am the HR operations person, the person to go for anything related to HR. Also, we collaborate with all the business leaders across the region, all the other HR functions when it comes to total rewards for benefits, HR shared services team, and all other HR business partners as well.
Wow, such a big
I
job.
I know, yeah, exactly.
And what about you, Lavina?
Thank you, Christine, for having Maha and me here, as she rightly said. I'm the sustainability lead for MIA. So basically, I look at the sustainability initiatives that HP runs globally and how we can cascade it, help the sales teams over here, enable them, make sure that people have the right resources, the tools in place to have the absolutely correct, engaging sales conversation when it comes to sustainability and how it can be a differentiator today when we speak about our products, our services. And, you know, the best thing is that for HP, people is like the core of how we do business. So we're always looking at ways in which we want to serve our clients, our customers, our partners, our shareholders. So we're definitely looking at the whole package.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind, of course, the planet.
100% true. So we will dig into this deeper later on the podcast, because usually when we speak about sustainability, we think of the products, how the business is run, but we never link it to people. So we will dig into that later. So let's start with the culture of HP. So me as a candidate, or if I want to join HP today, what's the culture?
And wow. We have a lot to say about our culture, right? About the HP culture. We call it the HP way. And HP way is not something new. I believe it was already created by our HP founders long time back. When we say HP way, we are talking about integrity. It's very crucial in HP. Diversity, hybrid work, and so many other things. Talking about our integrity, that's our code of conduct for HP. Integrity is a very important part in what we do in daily basis, because we apply integrity in everything we do with our customers, with our employees, with our partners, with everything. We have an open door policy, so people should always feel free to raise any concern, highlight any challenges, and we have different channels internally to support those people. The other thing as well, talking about HP way and culture, definitely the diversity that we have. Across the region, I'm glad to say that we have around 27 nationalities in our Dubai office, which is amazing, as you can understand.
Yeah.
The different cultures, the different backgrounds and experience and knowledge. And the best thing about having this diverse team is we celebrate a lot of things. We learn about their cultures, and we get to know their backgrounds and what is important for them and what we can celebrate together, etc. We work hybrid as well, which means we work flexibly. It doesn't mean that we work remotely from home. It's both. And we are all mature and smart enough to manage our business schedule per day. If you feel like you want to work from home because you want to focus on a project or you have a strict deadline, then just work from home. If you feel it's the right time to be in the office and collaborate with others, having face-to-face discussions, that's definitely very recommended to be in the office.
Okay. So these are the values of HP.
Yes, definitely. Our values is around our mission, our vision, and integrity, diversity, hybrid, teamwork, and collaboration as well.
Okay, so when you are hiring someone for any position, it's very easy to tick the box of diversity, right?
Definitely, yeah.
But
yeah.
When it comes to integrity, how do you measure that in the interview?
It's not easy to measure integrity. There are things that you cannot measure on spot in a 30 minutes interview. Mm-hmm. But right now with the technology, the first thing I do is, for example, if I'm part of a panel interview, I don't interview people myself unless I am taking part in a panel interview with the hiring manager and my colleagues from talent acquisition. First thing I do, I go and have a look at their LinkedIn profile, for example, and just see what they are interested in doing and their background, experience, etc. It gives me a heads up on whom I'm going to interview, right? Another thing as well, it doesn't need to be testing the person in the interview about integrity. But as long as you share clearly our culture and our expectation and how we work with each other, I believe people will decide whether, yes, this is the right company for me, this is the right employer. I want to be working with those people hybrid. I want to collaborate in the office, engage with them. Or maybe this is not the good fit or it's not what I'm looking for.
Okay, I love it. And I think also you stress on it while onboarding and the orientation in the beginning, you stress into...
A lot of integrity training and things to complete. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So when it comes to hybrid work, and especially now that all the companies are focusing on Gen Z, the 18 to 24, and for this generation, it is very crucial, the flexibility. So when you talk about flexibility, do you mean that they can work from home or the office, or even they can manage their own hours? Like they can work... whatever, 8 to 4, or they choose to work 4 to 12. Like, what do you mean by hybrid?
It's everything, and I myself do that as well. I like to be in the office. I don't know if it's maybe because I'm the HR point of contact, but I like to be in office. And sometimes also I travel to Saudi to meet my colleagues and my team in Saudi face to face. But it depends if I have, if I am aware that many people are going to come to the office in a specific day, I'll be there.
Okay.
Just to have the chit chat with them. And I'll make sure I free my schedule as much as I can. So I give them the time to have one-to-one or to answer their questions if I'm able to do that. But if I'm working on a project, I tell them, hey guys, I'm hiding from you. I just go and work from home or any coffee shop, just hiding from everyone, even my family.
I understand.
Just to focus and get things done the way I want to get it done. So this is what we mean by hybrid. Sometimes if I need to be offline for a couple of hours in the morning, I know very well that I have to also work late just to complete projects on time. And we work with Global, so we always have... late calls with Global.
Absolutely.
So we have to adjust our schedule according to that.
Interesting. So the flexibility gives also a lot of stress relief and power, so you can manage your own day
and productivity.
And manage your work-life balance.
True.
I'd just like to add that as Maha said, she likes to come to the office. Even I really like to come to office, because I think with a role like hers, with a role like sustainability, it's really nice that you can just sit across face to face, have the collaboration, understand better from the sales team what the needs for the customers are out there. If you want to run certain initiatives, it just works faster. And somehow I feel when you have such wonderful colleagues around you, why would you not take that energy and, you know, have that sort of a great, you know, place to be vibing, as well as making sure that, you know, work is really more efficient sometimes when you are face to face. This is what I feel.
So what I hear from you both, that you love going to the office. So how does the office look like?
I don't know if it's a good thing, but yeah, we do.
How does the office look like?
Okay, it's very interesting. I start my day in the basement with a big smile to everyone.
Absolutely.
Searching for parking, because usually we have specific days that we agree that it would be good we all to be in the office. But we start really with a big smile to everyone. Absolutely. With marhaba, sabah al khair, good morning, all the languages, privye, and I'm just trying to learn.
What's
some.
What's privye?
That's
language?
The Russian, good morning, maginda umaga, that's the Tagalog. I'm not sure if the pronunciation is
what's
right.
The Indian?
For Indian, we usually sometimes if we are, you know, having some very specific Indian cultural, you know, festival going on, so we say pranam, we say namaste, depending on
namaste,
the vibe
of course,
that is there.
And the occasion.
It's not that as Indians, I only say actually namaste or pranam. In fact, sometimes when I see Maha or I tell her marhaba, I say
ajzaik. She speaks to me in Arabic.
I actually
I love your
greet
Arabic.
Her in Arabic.
Yeah, your Arabic teacher is very good. Like you
and
have
they say
a good ajzaik, accent.
Even the Egyptian way of slang.
And it's really nice. That's what I'm saying. So like a typical day in office starts definitely, you know, having a cup of coffee with our colleagues. A good smile. And of course, if you are just on time to attend a call, then sometimes you're also in a rush, making sure that you have to have a meeting or a call that's starting. So it really depends. But the overall vibe in the office is very positive, great energy.
Very positive.
And I think just coming back to what you said, because we have the flexibility, we work with a lot of responsibility. It comes with that. And I think that's an important factor. We take accountability for managing our time. And that's because this sort of flexibility is respected.
And the trust as well.
And the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have to inform your manager that today I'm working from home or I'm taking a couple of hours in the morning, I'll be offline?
What do you do, Lavina?
So usually, yes, I do, you know, inform. That, you know, I need to probably be somewhere and then I'll be covering it up late or drop a message. But basically,
home.
It's that trust has, once you've developed that trust, I think the accountability, the responsibility comes along with it. And then that's why you can see that kind of energy at work. This is my, you know, perspective on why we like to go to office. And
I believe it's very flexible because also we have a lot of people on ground locally who have remote managers.
Okay.
My reporting manager is not based in Dubai. So I have a remote manager, but at the same time, I have the MDs, the local MDs in Dubai and in Saudi as well. I think what we need to inform them is we will be offline. Or we will be online, or I'll be offline for an hour. It doesn't matter if it's I'm from the office or outside. Okay. But what we do, to be honest, we are trying to schedule our interviews face to face as much as we can in the office. If people can make it, then good. Ahlan wa sahlan. If they can't, then the technology is amazing. Sometimes I take video calls or not video calls. Sorry to the RTA. While driving, audio calls. So
by the speaker, with the speaker.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because it's part of integrity and you make sure that your employees have the integrity anyway. So let's go into the next part, which is very
interesting.
Interesting, of course, and important to our audience, which is the job openings which you have in HP.
Yes.
So this is what we want to focus on now. So what are the openings that you have?
Okay. I don't know if at the time when the podcast is launched, whether we will have the same opening or not, because things keep changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, as you notice, like things are really booming in Saudi. And there are a lot of business opportunities in Saudi now to grab. So we are hiring in Saudi. We are hiring in Middle East as well, and definitely across all other locations. It's very easy for people to go online and check on our career portal what jobs are available, the requirement, and the criteria, skills, everything. Right now, we have maybe 4 to 5 openings in Saudi and maybe one in Dubai, as far as I remember. And mostly we hire in sales because talking about Middle East and Saudi, we need to have people on ground. Who are client-facing, who can meet our clients, our partners, attend our external events, partner events, HP-related events. We do a lot of events and we ask people from time to time to travel. to present HP with clients and partners. We usually look for people who understand our culture very well and can adapt with the cultural fit that we look for. We don't do those kind of technical skills testing and assessments, etc. It's more about having different rounds of interviews, maybe one with the talent acquisition person in charge, and then with the hiring manager, panel interview, another one, and until we select someone. We need people who are technically strong, definitely, in the job, as per the criteria of the job, but at the same time, people having the good communication skills, presentation skills, are really happy to travel and see our clients face-to-face and collaborate and take part of our activities and employee engagement and social activities.
Okay, so you covered a lot of points.
Yes, yes, so much to cover.
Again, so it's the openings now in Saudi are sales?
Yes.
So it's technical sales or?
It's sales account managers with the tech background, knowledge of what we do in HP, market experience is really advanced and appreciated.
So mm-hmm. this is in which category of HP? Because I understand there is security, there is the commercial part or the product, right?
It's commercial. Yeah, it's in the commercial organization. But again, things change. Sometimes we hire. We had a couple of opening in category in the product mm-hmm. Development as well. We had a business development role. So, but yeah, mostly we hire people who need to be on ground and and
so
client facing.
These openings, you prefer to hire from Saudi itself?
It doesn't matter. No.
To have the market experience, to understand
market
the market.
Market experience, I would say, in the region.
Usually, do you prefer to hire from the competitors or?
That's a good question. What do you think, Lavina?
I think we've seen a mix of both from the market as well as the competition.
The thing is, you might find candidates coming from the competition or from our competitors, but they don't have the market experience coming from different locations. Or you find someone who has really good market experience, but they are not coming from our competitors. So again, it depends on the interview and how the person
is. So they get shortlisted.
I'm sorry?
They get shortlisted if they are not from the competitor?
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of companies that are not a competition and you still consider them?
I would say we should hire from the industry. Like if we don't hire from the direct competitors, at least people who understand the industry. We create technology, right?
Yeah.
We do printing, we have laptops, yes. Gaming solutions. It's going to be very difficult if for someone doesn't understand what we do to join and learn from scratch. Unless they are fresh graduates, you will not find any criteria major criteria for fresh graduates.
Okay, so do you hire fresh grads?
We have.
In the sales?
I mean, globally, we have an amazing fresh graduates or graduate programs in the past.
So you put them like on a fast track to learn how to be sales, to learn about the technology?
It's a full program. They have to go through a full training program. They shadow people who have the experience. They work with them. They go on ground and they attend events and suddenly I'm talking about one of them. We put her on spot. You go and deliver this and go and do the introduction, things like that. So because they are very passionate about what we do and about their career growth as well.
I'm a big advocate of the graduate programs because this is how I started my career.
Okay.
So like I was put in a fast track managerial program and it changed my life. So
yeah, true.
These are like very powerful programs. True. Okay, so mainly in the sales, you hire experienced people, right? Like 4 to 5 years experience.
Unless we have the graduate program,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when do you select these candidates? Beyond the technical skills, which is very obvious on the CV probably, like the experience, it's coming from a competitor or from the same industry company. How do you measure or do in the interview the attitude and the skills or the behavior part?
We have a set of questions. Sometimes we follow them. Sometimes we don't really follow those questions. It depends if they come with a PowerPoint presentation prepared with an introduction about themselves, the personal part, the business part, that's fine. It's very flexible. And then you will understand the behavior from their answers, definitely. Sometimes you will see people negative. Yeah, I don't have any background here. And from the questions they ask as well, what is the challenge of this job? The first question. So I think also candidates need to be careful on the questions they ask. Or, I mean, there are so many guidelines and videos they can watch before attending any interviews. First thing, they have to come prepared, reading about the company, the job requirement very well. If they come without this preparation, it's going to be difficult to get the job. Because as you can imagine, the competition is very high in the market. The number of candidates apply to our jobs or to any jobs in Dubai and Saudi is, as you can imagine.
How many applicants do you receive on average?
I'm not sure, but from what I see on LinkedIn, when you post a job, in 1 hour you get 300 candidates. If you wait for 2-3 days, you will see thousands of applications. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you on this as well. People sometimes write to us following up on their applications without even screening their applications, without shortlisting them. It's so difficult for talent acquisition to get back to, let's say, 300 applicants. But what I also value and I highly recommend that for the candidates that we interview, it's very important to give them feedback.
It's like you know my questions and you answer them in advance, because that was going to be one of my questions. Like, how do you give feedback to candidates who went through the first or the second round of interviews?
Yeah, I'll be very honest with you. Getting back to each and every candidate is not possible at all. No way. During screening, I mean, during the screening process. Yeah. But if someone got shortlisted, it doesn't mean also that the hiring manager will go ahead and interview all the shortlisted candidates. Definitely. Maybe out of 15, we have the capacity or the need to interview only 5 or let's say 7 candidates. Yes, if we at least interview them for the first round, I believe it's very important to go back to them later after completing the process, mm-hmm. selecting one candidate and say, hey guys, you have done great in this and that, but unfortunately we selected someone else. We don't need to say specific reasons, but at least sometimes in general, someone did really well and they are the best fit for the job, but the company decided to give the opportunity to someone internally. I respect that. Internal candidates, I would say, is
they
the
have
priority.
The priority, of course.
If I get rejected because they selected an internal candidate,
but I would love to know that. Yeah, but I would love to
exactly.
know that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So you give them the feedback that because we decided to move as internal candidates?
Because I'm not the talent acquisition person, but yes, we agree, especially for our internal candidates, because they are my colleagues. When someone apply for a job, I always go to the talent acquisition team and say, please give them feedback.
Yeah.
And not only talent acquisition, the hiring manager as well. And we do that. We always do that, I would say.
And you do it as well for the external candidates?
I don't do it myself, but yeah, talent acquisition.
They would give them a specific reason.
For the candidates that we interview. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Specific reason, like maybe you lack this certification or this experience.
At least they will tell them that the candidate selected is meeting all the criteria, having the experience, the market. Because sometimes we interview candidates who are really amazing, mm-hmm. but they lack maybe the market experience. They lack the knowledge. They lack something that they don't get selected. So
when we were speaking earlier, you said that for a job, a specific job, you can receive more than 1,000 candidates.
Yeah.
So me as a candidate, how can I make sure that I stand out and I get filtered in the first process, at least to receive
the
first
interview?
No.
Talent acquisition colleagues, that definitely there are a couple of pre-screening questions based on the job requirement, whether it's technical, soft skills related, or background experience, etc. So definitely questions are there to be able to do the screening and the shortlisting as well.
Okay, so do you recommend candidates to look for the requirements of the job and make sure this is reflected on their CV?
Exactly, yes. So they don't miss the opportunity of applying for a job later in future, because sometimes you see candidates applying for any jobs randomly or writing to me on LinkedIn, hey, I'm interested in working in HP. Okay, thank you for your interest, but yeah. Then... is there any job number that I can share with my colleague and I can tell her, have a look at this CV? Or I appreciate they want to join HP, but it's better to do it in the right way, I can say. Whenever we post on LinkedIn, you will see the name of the recruiter who's posting. If you can't even get in touch with anyone, that's fine. Just apply for the job. Make sure you adjust your CV to highlight the experience that match with the job requirements.
Okay. So what are the general criteria that makes you decide this is a good candidate beyond the technical skills? So
you will get to know in the interview if the person is really positive, confident. Yes, people sometimes get nervous in interviews, and that's very normal. Being nervous is not a problem, but to be confident about what you say. It's not just randomly you are answering questions of the hiring managers and the recruiter. If you're not sure about your answer, you can say, I haven't really touched on this, or I didn't really have the experience. So it's not an easy process.
So what's the best interview or panel that you had that you cannot forget? This is my favorite question.
I need 10 minutes to remember. My memory is bad.
What is one interview you cannot forget because it wasn't great? Like someone who did everything wrong in the interview. You remember.
But let me answer the first one.
Okay.
I liked something in one of the panel interviews when we really liked a candidate, but the candidate doesn't really fit for the job requirement, but the candidate did very well. So after each panel interview, we do a feedback session with the hiring manager and all the members in the people in the panel interview. And then we say, what is your feedback, Maha? What is your feedback? And then I think we all agreed that that candidate is really good. So it would be good to keep the application in our database, or maybe recommend to another hiring manager who is currently hiring. So I remember this and I really appreciate that. And then the second question about... It's a couple of them. It wasn't in HP in particular, but I remember... It was during COVID, and that was before joining HP, I'll be very honest. And then the candidate, you know, during COVID, people take all the calls from home or whatever. And then it was a senior role, and it was a panel interview. And then the candidate, I don't know, for some reasons, maybe he was on vacation, decided to take the call at the swimming pool in the background. And you can see the outfit.
Is like, there an outfit?
I remember, I mean, wearing a short, beach short or t-shirt. Yes, we are flexible, but...
So let's go to the employees themselves. So how do you develop your own employees and people?
Oh my God. Talking about our learning programs and development programs, I have been with HP for 2 years and have maybe... I'm yet to complete the programs we have or to participate.
Wow.
So many programs coming from global, and we cascade this down as much as we can locally. There are so many opportunities. I like the fact that in our even talent review discussions or any talent discussions between managers, and that's something I really appreciated when I joined HP. I was telling the managers, I really appreciate that you have an open discussion that this person is really interested in to experience something different, a different function, and you are you're welcoming that, yeah, that person can move, etc. And this is something really HP support, the rotation.
Okay.
Definitely not every 6 months, or it depends. If there is an internal opportunity for people to, as you mentioned, for their personal development. And
So do you encourage them to take specific certifications, especially for the technical roles?
From time to time, yes, I believe that's between managers and their teams. But I see people always posting on LinkedIn, I completed specific certificates, especially in AI. And it's on the top agenda for our leadership team and our CEO, that about the AI and learning about AI, not only the technical or the sales team, even for us, for HR. We are considering AI in everything we do for innovation and for better experience to our employees.
Naveena, you want to add something?
Yeah. Even for sustainability, we have a lot of trainings. And our sales teams have to compulsory take those trainings, because when we have upgrades on the products, or when we have updates on, you know, the kind of information or the new technology that is coming to help them in a conversation that is related to sustainability, they definitely have to complete some of the certification, and that is compulsory, by the way. They get a certain timeline within which they have to complete that certification.
What happens if they didn't complete it?
See, we are doing it because it allows them to grow better. Not that they are going to have any kind of a harsh circumstance.
But it's not part of the performance appraisal?
Yes, sometimes we do, because we honestly see this as their growth. It's for their growth that this training is given.
Yeah.
And when you recommend it, it's usually even taken seriously, because they also understand that when they are sitting with the customers, they know about some of the upgrades that have happened. For example, if I talk about sustainability, we time to time have updated recognitions and accreditations of products. So the training will cover that. And they know that if they today want to make a difference through the sustainability factor, they need to know this. So it's actually for their benefit that these trainings are curated. We tell them these are recommended. And to a certain extent, you're right, we do incorporate it as a part of the performance appraisal as well. And this is monitored as well.
This is what the employees need to hear from their managers.
I also think it depends a lot on your manager. It does make a big difference, like the kind of interaction, the transparency you maintain with your manager, and how much they see that, okay, this opening has come. Can my team member, if the team member is interested, of course, when they say that I'm interested to do this role, how supportive the manager is. I think that's one of the key things. And I think we are very lucky to be working in a company where our managers are very supportive and very progressive. So that works really well at HP. Second thing, I also think it's your own initiative. If you are in that zone that I have carved out this path for myself and this is where I want to grow, when your managers or your seniors or your peers see that kind of a mindset, I think that plays a very important role. When there are such opportunities, people are willing to support, people are willing to encourage you to, hey, there's an opening here. Why don't you look at this?
Don't wait for leadership or managers to come and say, I'm going to move you to a new role or give you a promotion or etc. I believe you need also to have to understand that it's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
Your career growth is your responsibility. The manager is there to guide you and support you and make sure you get the opportunity. But yeah, definitely, it's. I always say to people that whenever you see an opportunity that you are interested in, go and talk to your manager about it and our leadership.
Very nice. So I think these questions are for Naveena. So if you can tell us more about the CSR initiatives being done by HP.
So first of all, as I said, that HP really looks at people and how to make a difference. HP's got a global policy of giving back to the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So CSR today not only is something that is Middle East or this region specific, but it's actually a global phenomenon for HP. To give you an example, one of the programs we do is 40 Days of Doing Good.
Mm.
It's such a wonderfully crafted program that every region, wherever we have HP presence, the employees, over a period of 40 days, have different sorts of CSR activities lined up. It could be blood donation, it could be mentoring, it could be doing something for the underprivileged sections of the society. And it's cascaded. There's a lot of transparency and information sharing that happens. We prepare in advance mm-hmm. for these. And as I lead the CSR community over here for this region, I make sure that we have enough activities lined up that are relevant, that are impactful, that actually are not just a tick in the box, but meaningful, truly creating a difference. And we don't only say this. I can give you some of the examples that we have. We work with very specific NGOs on a regular basis, where we have a roster within the employees who go and actually mentor, spend time with the underprivileged sections and help them with IT skills, English. This is just to give you some
examples.
That's
in their weekends.
On the weekend.
Okay.
We do that
on volunteer.
So regularly. This is in Dubai or?
Yeah, in Dubai. Okay. We also have very good programs. When we talk about CSR, something that we want to even give back, let's say in terms of planting or reforestation.
Yeah.
When we launched this very actively here, I remember we had done frequent beach cleanups, but now we've moved mm-hmm. on to, actually doing forestation and planting. So we've done gaff tree program, give okay. a gaff. Last week with our extended ecosystem, we actually did the mangrove saplings. So we actually went to a reserve and planted. And that program was so loved and appreciated that we are having a couple of more with different, of course, audience lined up.
Wow.
So I can tell you that the CSR activities that we have lined up in different regions and not just UAE are truly making a difference. The best thing that is to be highlighted is that we actually can track this. So I can tell you, in our sustainability report that gets published every year,
okay.
we do have a track of the number of trees that we've planted globally. The volunteering hours
wow.
that our employees across have actually put into to make sure that all these initiatives are run. So all of these are tracked. And as I said, it is not just a tick in the box. It is done with a lot of heart, with a lot of effort. And at the end, it's very fulfilling to see that we can touch someone's life in a good way.
Definitely.
It's really good to see some of the work that we are doing with the labor camps over here. It's really good to see how people actually come and thank. They want to, bring in a difference in their life, upskill themselves. And there's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying than that. So
yeah.
really proud to be working for a company with such a great culture.
And we have an activity, a very similar activity coming soon. And it's not only about planting, if you wish to talk about it. It's kayaking as well and fun. So it's wellness.
Yeah. It's wellness.
Planting,
so it's, again, wellness is again another thing that we make sure mm-hmm. that our employees are in, in a great state of mind, both physically and mentally. So this current activity that is upcoming is a combination of sustainability and wellness, which we're looking at the first activity being where we'll kayak and reach the reserves more closely and do the mangrove saplings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So as I said, it's a very great vibe that we have. We follow this culture. we look forward to this. Then again, the holy month of Ramadan is coming.
No, of course.
The beauty is it's coinciding with the 40 days of doing good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it works really well when from a timing per se that we make sure that it's the time that we actually give back to the best we can in different ways. There's not just one activity, but in different ways that we do. And every year we try to come up with a different initiative, try to look at different underprivileged sections that we can serve.
So I can see a lot of passion in your eyes when you're talking about that.
Thank you.
So they are 40 days in a row?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And are the families welcome to join as well?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So to give you an example, I was telling you when we did the GAF tree program,
okay.
We actually had the employee children join us. And I can tell you that it was such a good event because we could see that they are our future. So we actually, the messaging from that was putting the buds for our future buds. And it was so well received. And I often get feedback from my colleagues that they want to do more, come up with more initiatives.
Of course.
Where we can bring our children. Don't we have our take our children to work?
There are so many other events, yeah, and activities, and yeah, I can say the take our children to work. That's an annual event, also driven by Global, just to make sure we connect our families and our children to love HP the way we love HP as well. And I can tell you, children are waiting on annual basis to this event. And we do competition. They dress up as, I don't know, I can't remember the activity we had last year. But
yeah, superheroes. We even did something, just adding on to what Maha
said. Sustainability.
For sustainability.
Yeah.
So we actually had some of the children came dressed in absolute innovative costumes. So they used
the newspaper.
The
right?
newspaper. One of them, you know, with the bottle caps.
Yeah.
They made a hat out of it.
Wow.
And so it's really good to see that at a very young age, they can start, you know, thinking about the planet. And they are very sensitive to these issues and challenges that the globe.
Yeah.
And that's not only in Dubai, if I can add. We have this event also happening in Saudi. Lavina also supports CSR in Saudi. Sometimes we need to slow down on our activities and events if there is a business requirement and priorities, but we make sure that these things happen on annual basis, on every quarter, as much as we can have those events happening.
So if you then can tell us more about the sustainability efforts in Saudi.
In Saudi, we are seeing that because of the Vision 2030, there's a lot of interest that is coming up from customers who want to run different initiatives with us. So along with the sales or the account manager, we are working on having initiatives which are related specifically to the customer that will help the customer specifically. So we recently had an event in Jeddah where we had 30 customers come together and we understood, you know, how their strategy and our strategy of sustainability, where there's a synergy, where we can add value. We shared some of the global programs that we have, for example, our Planet Partner program, and how we can cascade it, particularly in Saudi. So we run that basis, the understanding that the customer and our sales team have, where it can actually add value.
Okay, so Lavina, since we were talking about Saudi, what is one of the best sustainability programs you had in the UAE?
I absolutely love this question. I'm so proud to share. Last year, we did a project with Expo City. It is called the Changemakers Challenge, where we, you know, opened this project or this hackathon for girl students.
Okay.
And we launched it on last year's International Women's Day, where we gave an opportunity to girl students to showcase innovative solutions by keeping certain SDGs in mind. The project gained a lot of momentum, interest, and the final winners, when we had, the way they presented some of the solutions addressing the SDGs.
What is the SDG?
SDGs are Sustainable Development Goals.
Okay.
That have come into place from the UN. We follow them. There are 17 of them. And we chose 4 or 5 that were relevant to particularly climate action, because we were going to witness COP28 in Dubai, right? So keeping that in mind, we designed this hackathon. And I can tell you some of the solutions that came from these teams were absolutely stunning.
Very in fact, young students.
Maha was one of the judges.
How old?
In the age group of 13 to 16, wow. High school students.
I was really hoping that I hire one of them. She has an amazing leadership skills. I'm like, you are a leader. You are a young leader.
What did she do? What did she? How did she?
It was amazing the way she was presenting the solution, and even when we were announcing the winners, she was making sure her team is all there and they participate. I'm like, you are a natural leader. You're amazing. Please come join us in future. And so, then, and they came to the office.
So these winning teams then came to our office. We actually conducted a half-day mentorship session for them, where our senior management spoke to them about ethics, value systems in the office, how can they take their prototypes further, and some inspirational stories from our senior management. And the icing on the cake was that these winning teams got to, you know, talk about the whole experience at COP28. So our initiative got presented at COP28, where we spoke that how important it is for corporates like us to give platforms to students for their development, for their growth. And it was extremely well received. I'm really proud of this initiative and the way everybody came together as a team and made sure that we actually add value for these students was quite commendable.
This is very powerful to have the students take responsibility and ownership from such a young age. So what was the project that won the first place?
So basically, the technical part is, it's too hard to explain, but it's all about reverse osmosis.
What is reverse
osmosis? Yeah, so it'll get very technical to explain. So I don't know
which you one. Cannot.
It's very technical.
Forget about this question.
Forget about this question. Yeah, that's why. But if I can say one thing, that when I spoke to the students at the end, while concluding this, I would say that they were all winners. Their maturity to understand the SDGs was clearly a highlight for me. And to continue the momentum, this year we are again going to have our next hackathon, which will revolve around Gaming Garage and the gaming curriculum that HP has come up with.
Okay.
It's part of the sustainability umbrella.
Okay.
And particularly the digital equity pillar that comes under sustainability. So I'm working on that, and I'm really excited that we'll be sharing this very soon. It's like a continuation with a similar mindset, that students get a platform to go out there, come up with their gaming prototypes, with the foundation being the curriculum that HP has curated.
I love how you are incorporating HP into the students' interest and what they're looking for now. So you're looking even to the younger generations.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. So to recap, if a candidate would love to apply for HP, they can go to LinkedIn to apply, check the jobs and apply, right? Or the career portal.
They can apply on the career portal, definitely. But at the same time, we post our jobs on LinkedIn. So from time to time, they can check our LinkedIn posts and apply, and it will take them definitely
to the career portal.
Exactly, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lavina and Mah, for joining me today. I love the conversation and all the insights you gave us about HP.
It was so interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Mas-salama. Mas-salama.